God's grace and peace to you. Tonight's message is entitled, Love One Another and Hold On. Maundy Thursday makes for a very long day for Jesus. In that first Holy Week, our first Savior went through so much in that day. It started in Bethany in the home of a leper. It continued to a very emotional high point in the upper room of Jerusalem where Jesus celebrated the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper. And then it moved to the garden in Gethsemane. In between, Jesus did a lot of serving, a lot of teaching, a lot of praying. And most of all, he did a lot of loving. And that's where we're going to focus, those two main points, in the upper room and in Gethsemane's garden. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us how Jesus got to the upper room, but John's gospel, our reading for tonight, really lets us inside of Jesus' mind and heart. John's gospel tells us, as we read in John 13, verse 1, that having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus now showed them love to the very end. Jesus stood at the top of a trail that would lead him down into the valley of death. And he was ready to show to his disciples, to all of us, his love to the very end. That's why John's gospel goes on and says that having come from God and knowing that he was returning to God, and then it lays out this most dramatic incident of what Jesus does in the upper room. As you heard in tonight's gospel reading, Jesus takes off his robe. He becomes the servant. He washes the feet of his followers. Before Jesus created the Lord's Supper, which washed and filled our souls, he first washed the dirty soles of the feet of his followers. Jesus switches from being Lord and teacher to being servant and foot washer. Why did he do it? It seems almost unthinkable. And yet, we realize that Jesus has been doing this switching since the very beginning. He switches out from being creator to joining his creation. He switches from being the king on his throne and instead accepts the manger of Bethlehem. He switches from being the captain of the armies of heaven to being the leader of fishermen and tax collectors. Soon Jesus will switch places with all of us. For he who knew no sin goes willingly to switch places and die a death he does not deserve, so that we who deserve death and separation from God may instead know his love and his eternal life. Yes, it's love that motivates Jesus to do all of this. This switching Savior switches out his robe for a towel. He cleans the soles of his disciples' feet, and then Jesus gives this bit of instruction. Because I, your Savior and Master, was willing to wash your feet, you also are to be willing to serve anyone, anywhere, anytime, just as I served you. And Jesus concludes it all with an explanation. I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you. By this will all the world know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is to be the motivation for all that we do in the Savior's name, because love was and is the motivation for all that Jesus has done. If we remember why Jesus did all this switching, if we remember that love was his motivation, it gets that much easier. It gets that much more doable for us to continue in our loving ways. And then we are more open to hearing all the ways that he has in mind for us. And so Jesus goes on this Maundy Thursday night. He teaches about this love in John chapter 15, and he says, only if we remain in this love are we going to be able to do these things. He prays in John 17 that we will indeed remain in his love. And then the night moves to the garden, where Jesus doesn't just talk about prayer, he begins to pray for himself. We arrive at the second part of our Maundy Thursday focus, the second part of our Maundy Thursday message. We arrive at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Go to dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray.
Some of you may recognize where I am. I'm kneeling in the sanctuary at Gethsemane Lutheran Church at the foot of the cross. I have to be honest with you. It feels very awkward. The kneeling, yes. The realization that this isn't exactly my best view, looking down at a camera, my double chin. But I have to be honest with you that the most awkward feeling of all is being here alone. As I reflected on that, as I prayed a little bit, I heard Jesus whispered to me, that's how I felt in the garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went with his 12 disciples, minus one, where he went on that Maundy Thursday evening after teaching them about the vine and the branches and remaining in him, after praying that beautiful high priestly prayer, after beginning the process that John 13 describes as showing us the full extent of his love, Jesus came with 11 of the 12 to Gethsemane, a garden of twisted, gnarly olive trees, many of which were chopped down to the root at the time of Jerusalem's destruction, 70 AD, but which have grown back. And now, 2,000 years later, still look gnarly and look very much like the way they would have looked when Jesus was there. He came to that garden, a place that Scripture says he had prayed before, but this was a different night and a different prayer. He said to three of his disciples, come over here with me. I want you to keep watch with me and pray. He shared with those disciples a very touching scripture. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the very point of death. He begged them to pray. They slept. And so Jesus prayed alone, more uncomfortable than me on my knees, more uncomfortable because the weight of the world's sin was getting closer and heavier and more real. He prayed to the only one that could take it away from him. Father, if you are willing, you can take this cup away from me, but not as I will, but your will be done. A prayer Jesus taught us as a model for all believers was the prayer he modeled himself as he prayed in Gethsemane's garden alone. His anguish was real. The Gospel of Luke tells us that his sweat appeared to be as blood. What doctors and scientists tell us is hemidrosis, such distress that the capillaries near the skin's surface begin to flare and then break, so that blood is mixed with the sweat of one in horrible distress. He was alone as he prayed, without his disciples' help, as he went back to them each time and found them sleeping. And yet he was not alone. One gospel records that an angel came and strengthened him. But whether God chose to do it through an angel or he came by his own comforting presence, the Father was there with Jesus. That's why he could arrive at the peace that he did. That's why he could then say, "Not my will, but yours be done," and accept that, and drink from that cup, and bear the world's sins on the cross on Good Friday. Here, in this time, when many of us feel alone in our own homes, I think we can relate very much to that aloneness that Jesus felt. Yet I think we can also be assured of the comfort that he will give us. The comfort that God the Father gave to his own Son in Gethsemane's garden will be given to you and me. He may do it through a scripture. He may do it through the still, small voice of his Spirit. He may do it through an angel, be it a real one or one of his people functioning and acting like an angel, which is a word that translates as messenger, by text, by phone, by holding hands. That one being a messenger to you, you're not alone. God is with you. And the Savior who went through the garden alone, through that bloody anguish alone, all the way to the cross alone, did so so that you and I would never have to be alone. Hold on to that real promise, earned by the bloody sweat and by the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. Hold on to the hand that holds on to yours, nail-scarred as it is from what he did in love for you. He promises he will never let you go. Hold on to him, friend. And may you be strengthened this Maundy Thursday, all throughout this COVID-19 pandemic, and every day until he takes our hand in heaven and welcomes us home. Let's pray now together. Jesus, we thank you for loving us and showing us an example of love, but more than that, by your love, empowering us to love. In these times when we cannot understand what is ahead, when we are uncertain of what our future holds, we are very certain and very grateful that you hold on to us, that you love in us. You will always love us, and may you love through us this time of pandemic and every day of our life until you welcome us home. Lord Jesus, we ask you to watch over those who are sick. We ask you to watch over all of those who are on the front line of this pandemic, doctors, nurses, ambulance drivers, firefighters, all of our government leaders. May they have your protection, your strength to lead us all. And Lord, hear us as we pray in thanks and in faith the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you this evening, this Maundy Thursday evening. We look forward to seeing you again at our Good Friday service on April the 10th at 7 p.m. online on our website or our Facebook page, facebook.com/GLC Houston. We also ask you to join us for our Easter service on April the 12th, when at 10:30 in the morning, we will rejoice and celebrate that He is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless you, friends. Let's join in singing our closing hymn.